I am Carson Patton, and this is
Jerome Lewis.
And we're just going to hop in. And yeah, can you tell us about your background and how you got started as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, sure. I just told this story recently, yesterday. And how I got started as an entrepreneur was I was working a job in corporate America. I was working a 9-to-5. I started off in customer service. I was working in a supermarket. And while I was working in that supermarket, I would get customers coming your line. And I can promise you, they say like customer service is one of the worst jobs. I agree with that. But you learn a lot. You learn skills. You learn people skills. You learn how to handle things and not to take things personally. I say all of that to say that people would come into the job, the supermarket, as me, a cashier, and they would come out. They would take all their frustrations out on me, which had nothing to do with me. They had a bad day at work. They come in, slam stuff around, curse at you, yell about the order. And I was like, you know what? I'm not appreciating this job. I need to make a change. The change I decided to make was I always liked computers. So this was around the time that MySpace was popular. And I liked designing my profile. And I was like, you know what? I would like to go to school for doing this profile editing and this HTML, this web design stuff. So I looked into it a little bit. I played around on MySpace, but then I had a friend. My friend Abdul, he came to me one day and he said, hey, I saw this commercial and he talked all about this school. And the school teaches you how to use computers so you can build yourself a career. Abdul talked about all of the cool things that they were going to give you, which included a bus pass so you can go back and forth to school, a laptop, and some other things that I can't remember. He was very excited about those things, but I was excited about the fact that I was going to school to learn a skill that I could use for the rest of my life. So I signed up for that. And then because I had a customer service background, they said they were going to help with a job, but they didn't. Because I had a customer service background, though, I applied for jobs. And I found this job that let me in because of my customer service experience working at that market. That was on my foot in the door, so I still wasn't working IT. But I got my foot in the door. And then within the same company, another position opened up and it was an IT position. So I decided to go after that position and they hired me because I had the education and the career. I had a degree for web design and technology. So they hired me and I was doing really well there at that position. I was doing so well, in fact, that I always talk about this in my stories. There's this book called 48 Laws of Power. And the number one rule within that book is never outshine the master. Now, mentioning that rule within that book is because when I was working my job, I was outshining the master. And in this case, it was my manager. I was doing so great at the job that he became insecure. He would yell at me and he didn't appreciate how well I was doing in the job. And because he would yell and curse and scream, I was like, I don't like this either. I need to find something that's better and more appropriately that will fit me better. So I decided to look into financial freedom and I went on the internet. I went to Google and I discovered the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. I read that book and he talked all about real estate. And he's like, that's one of the best ways you can become wealthy is get involved in real estate. So I decided to, while I was at the job, I decided to save up so I can get started in real estate. And at the time, I had two children at the time. So I had to pay for my children. I was paying a lot of money for these children. I was on child support, if I'm being honest. And child support, they took so much money from me that I could barely save up. So it took me 2 or 3 years just to save up $3,000. And the $3,000 was my tuition to pay for a coach into real estate. And that's how I got started as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Where did you purchase your first property for real estate, or where was your first step in real estate?
My first step was I hired that coach and so there's multiple ways you can do real estate. He taught me how to wholesale real estate, and wholesale real estate is how you go with the intent to purchase a property and you sell your rights to that property and get paid for that. So that was what that coach taught me. And that was the skill that was the skill set that I grasped from him and I kept and I applied to being an entrepreneur throughout my career.
Yeah. What is the biggest challenge you have faced, like, as an entrepreneur and in your business?
biggest challenge as an entrepreneur? My biggest challenge will probably be, I got a couple of challenges, but if I could give people one, I want to give people something valuable. So I think this is not my biggest challenge, but I want to emphasize this. Entrepreneurship is lonely and not a lot of people understand it. That is a big challenge. I'm not going to say it's my biggest challenge. I can't think of what my biggest challenge is, but that was a huge challenge. Nobody understood what I was doing. It made sense to nobody but me. And a few, when I would meet other entrepreneurs, they understand. But that's a challenge that I would tell people to be aware of and to look out for, is that entrepreneurship is lonely. Most people are not going to understand what you're doing. They're going to tell you to get a job and all this different stuff. That can be challenging in itself. And you have to worry about that essentially along the entire journey when you're doing entrepreneurship.
Yeah. And like, how did you overcome those challenges? How did you overcome those?
That particular challenge, I still haven't overcome it. People still don't fully understand. What I do to manage is I get around other people that understand. That's how we met, Carson. We are both entrepreneurs. We both understand each other. And sometimes when we have calls together, we have a mastermind, we have an accountability mastermind. Sometimes we talk. Sometimes you just need to talk. Like, these people don't understand. They don't get it. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish. So that's what I'm actively doing to overcome that challenge. I don't think that challenge is ever going to go away, because I call them like normal, like the 80% of most other people that are not entrepreneurs. They don't understand it because they're not in it. So I use my resources, I use my networks, and I'm around other people that already understand and that are on similar paths to what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. What would you consider to be your greatest accomplishment as a business owner, as an entrepreneur?
Oh man, my biggest accomplishment, I'm not going to say my biggest, but my favorite accomplishment by far is publishing a book. That is something that I never saw possible or even thought about. But because I hired a coach, I got coaching and mentorship, I was able to write a book. And that is my favorite accomplishment thus far. I wouldn't say it's my biggest. I've done a lot of speaking engagement, been on stages, traveled across the nation. But my favorite accomplishment would be publishing that book. I never thought, and it's something tangible that I can actually pick up, leave, and share. So that's my favorite accomplishment. It's not my biggest, but that's the one I always think about, hands down. I'm so proud that I was able to do that.
I agree. Yeah. I always said I would never write a book, like ever. Like, I was so strong on it, I would never write a book. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try. And sure enough, we did it. But that's probably definitely one of the hardest parts of like being an entrepreneur. Almost all entrepreneurs should write a book. What are strategies you have found most effective for growing your business?
This one can be tricky because the strategies can vary. Yes. In particular, for growing any business, I think hands down, the one strategy or the thing that you at least need to start thinking about is marketing. And there can be so many different strategies within marketing. I've explored not all of them, but I've explored quite a few. I've done social media marketing. I've done direct mail marketing, video marketing, offline marketing, networking. I've done a ton of different marketing. I think if anybody wants to grow a business, you've got to tap into marketing, because if you don't have customers, you don't have a business. It doesn't matter how good you are, how great you are. None of that stuff matters if nobody knows about you. And the path to people knowing about you is through marketing.
Yeah. What would you say would be your favorite marketing strategy, like between your direct mail or between, all of those that you just mentioned? Which one's your favorite?
Ooh, my favorite would be, I have like two businesses. I used to have multiple, but right now I run a real estate business and I'm looking to purchase houses from people. So I'm going to give you two answers. So my favorite marketing strategy, because it's the most effective in regards to that business, is direct mail. So we have a particular letter that we send to people and it gets an excellent response compared to anything that I've done in the past. I've done some social media. I have a lot of success with social media marketing, but the direct mail thing that I'm doing to buy houses is working great. Now, the second part of my business, which is marketing, I help people market. I help people generate leads in our business. I help them grow their business. The second part of my favorite marketing strategy is, it's still direct mail in a way, but you can do some digital stuff online with it. And it's the book. I would call it book marketing. So I like to educate people and inform them, and I give them a book somehow, whether it's through direct mail, through a YouTube link, or in a Facebook group. I send them a book somehow, some way. And that's so powerful because people are looking for value. They're not looking for your services. Sometimes they want education, like, how does this work? And by providing them with that information in the form of a book, it really makes a difference. So those are my favorite strategies when it comes to marketing.
Yeah, that's great. Where do you see your business heading in the future?
I see my business heading in the future, actually where it is right now. I have to be more clear about some of the specific goals that I want, but at one point I was doing a multitude of things. Right now, I've broken it down where I have two businesses. I have the business where I help people generate leads and get stuff into their business, write books, etc. Then I have the business where I'm purchasing houses. And right now I'm at a crossroads. If I still want to do the marketing business, or I just want to do the real estate invest, like the house buying business, both of them are interlinked and intertwined. So it's really not a lot for me to do both. But that's where I see my business. Like me, like being a primary, if I go and I'm talking about that marketing business, I won't be as hands-on in that business, and I'll be more involved in the buying houses business.
Yeah. And coming off of that, which one is your favorite? Like, which one do you enjoy working on more?
It would be the market where I help people generate leads. It would be that business because you can create stuff out of nothing, essentially. It's an information product, essentially what it is. And I like that because you take your thoughts and you put it in a video, you put it in a book, you can sell, you can offer that, you can give it away, you can do so many things with that. Whereas on the house buying side, that's a finite business. It's limited to inventory, it's limited to the market. I can't just make a house out of thin air. So I appreciate the marketing business because of those benefits that I said, but I also appreciate the other business because it's such a high, you make so much money in that business.
Yeah. What do you suggest I do to get into real estate? Because I am interested in getting into real estate. Like, what would you say for people who don't have a bunch of money to invest into property or like that? How do I get started?
I would say, how do you get started? My advice would be custom to each particular person, because sometimes it depends on your strengths, your weaknesses, your network, etc. For you particularly, Carson, I would recommend that you keep doing what you're doing. You get a lot of real estate clients already. Like we talked on one of our masterminds. I'm like, you're coming up with all these real estate clients. So I continue to provide value to those real estate people. And then when there are specific questions or specific things that you want to know, in ways you want to get involved in real estate, you just reach out to them and you ask them, because you're already providing value to them in a way. Next, I would maybe get clear on a strategy, because there are so many different things that you can do in real estate. You can buy houses, you can sell houses, you can invest in real estate, you can invest in commercial, multifamily, industrial. There are so many different strategies. So I would get clear on a specific strategy that I would be interested in. And I already said this, but which you already do a good job, but people have to lead with value. You can't go in and say, oh, I want to get involved in real estate, can you teach me everything? So don't do that. That's, I'm talking to the audience. Like, don't do that. Find a way that you can provide value to people. I have a podcast as well, and I was talking with one of my guests yesterday, and he talked about he worked for this gentleman that was involved in real estate for 14 months for free. He didn't expect anything in return. He just worked for free. And he's like, I'm going to provide you value so you can see that I can actually contribute to your business. And I don't expect anything in return. I'm just going to bring you value. And they worked it out. And now they own the real estate company together, simply because that guy figured out a way. He anticipated, okay, what do you need in your business? He said that that member was struggling with PowerPoint. So he came in and he's like, okay, I can help you with PowerPoint and some of the other technical stuff. And that's what he did. He didn't ask, oh, how can I help you? He figured out, okay, I see that you were struggling. Here's what I'm going to do for you. And you could take it or leave it. So That's what I would. For people that are looking to get started, my best recommendation is find somebody that's doing what you want to do, bring them value, and then you can start to ask some questions on, you know, how to get involved or how to get started. Because even what they're doing might not be for you. They might say, you know what, Carson, I think you would be better in commercial real estate versus residential real estate, or industrial real estate versus commercial real estate. It all depends. So find somebody that you respect, you appreciate, and bring value to them, which you're doing. I think you do an excellent job already, Carson. You got all these real estate clients. So if you're like wanting to get started, you just ask people, you provide them value. Another good way for you, Carson, that I encourage people to do, start a podcast. Right. And people, oh, I want to pick your brain. I want to ask you all these questions. Do it in a way that provides value to that person. Right. So you're asking me questions and we can take this media and we can share it out to the world. This way you're not just picking my brain, you know, all in it for you. Other people can learn from it.
Yeah. The goal is to share the knowledge of others. That's the point of the podcast for me. I feel like, yeah. So where do you see the real estate market as of right now? And then like, do you feel like it is strong? Like, how do you feel about it?
So the market is, it would be considered a seller's market. And I'm not an expert on what the market is, sellers or buyer. But right now, from what I understand, is a seller's market. And part of the reason why I'm not like overly concerned about which market it is, because I can thrive in either market, right? Because I have marketing, I understand how to navigate. So I think right now we're in a seller's market, and the seller's market mean people that are selling their house, they sell their houses pretty fast and they get what they want. When it switches over to a buyer's market, now the buyers are in control and they get what they want. So right now we're in a seller's market, and I'm hoping that it switches over to right now we're in a seller's market, and I'm hoping it switches over to a buyer's market, because the buyers will have more power. And I'm a buyer. I'm looking to buy some properties, and I've consciously never experienced a buyer's market.
Yeah. So where do you actually invest, like into properties? Where do you like to invest? Where's your favorite place to invest in property?
My favorite place is right where I live in Philadelphia. I like particularly, it would be called Northwest Philadelphia. I like it because it's like, it's closer to it. It's not exactly a suburb, but it's closer to a suburb type area. And it's more family centric than some of the other stuff. I live in a city, so we got a lot of row houses, and I tend to not like those row houses as much as I like the other houses in the Northwest area that I mentioned.
Yeah. So is it like condos? Like how are there houses? What type of housing?
Yeah, it varies. In general, Philadelphia has a lot of row houses, but we have, so like in Northwest, for example, like we do have row houses, but they would be considered like you come across more twin houses, more townhouses, and you get like yards. You got stuff that makes it more family and home centric in this area.
All right. Yeah. And what would you recommend me to do to achieve success at 16 years old? Like what would you say? Cause you already told me to start investing into real estate, right? But what would you say would be the best thing for me to do as my age right now?
Specific to real estate or in general?
Just in general, like what do you think I should do to achieve success?
I would encourage patience and awareness, because I already think you're having a lot of success. I would like for you to give yourself more credit, because when I was 16, I wasn't thinking about running a business or starting a podcast. And you're going to hear everybody going to tell you that, oh my God, you're like 16 and you're doing all this stuff. But it's true. Like, you are in a great space. You're doing excellent. So keep doing what you're doing and exercise patience because you're on the path. A lot of people believe that there's a shortcut or some kind of pill, and there's really not. You just have to put in the work. You're putting in the work, so it's a matter of time before you hit success. Furthermore, success is different to different people. So I think you already have success. And if we're talking like maybe something more particular, like financial success, financial freedom, stuff like that, you're well on your way to hitting those as long as you stay consistent.
Thank you. And what would you have done if you were in my position as like, yeah, if you were 16, what would, and you were here as me, what would you do?
I would, this is corny, but I would do what you're doing, what you're already doing, plugging in, networking, and providing value to people. I would just know more. Like if I had all of the stuff that I knew now at 16, I would be better off. And you're going to hear a lot of people say this, like, thank goodness I'm one of the first episodes, but they're going to say, I wish I started sooner. So I wish I started at 16. I wish I started when I was younger. And I admire and I encourage you to keep going. There are going to be some people that discourage you. Might even be your parents once in a while. Who knows? But, you know, Keep the path. They stay consistent. Listen to your coaches and listen to the people that have what you have and you'll get there.
Yeah, so that's all the questions I have. I have one more, actually. Why does your name tag say Mr. Implementation?
I just did an interview, and she was like, what did she say? Oh, she asked me my favorite quote. Her name's Leanna. Leanna's like, what's your favorite quote? And I got two favorite quotes. The first one is know thyself. I think people should know who they are, know your strengths, your weaknesses, etc. Then the second quote is, it's actually my quote, and it's ideas are worthless without implementation. And I come across so many people with so many great ideas, great philosophies, great this, great that, and it doesn't mean anything because they're not implementing. So one of the things when I teach my students, they will always say, Jerome, I struggle with implementation. And I'm like, well, that's what I'm here for. I help people with implementation. And I was reading a newsletter from one of my mentors one time. And he was like, just give yourself a name. Listen to what people are saying. And one of the things that you can do is you can give yourself a nickname so you can get called. You can be called that. And it's a way to separate and differentiate yourself. And people kept talking to me and they kept saying implementation. I was like, you know what? Just call me Mr. Implementation. And that's why I call myself Mr. Implementation, because I'm all about implementation and I'm all about helping other people implement, because the ideas are out there. Ideas are easy. The implementation, that's the stuff that matters. That's the work. And most people struggle with implementation.
Yeah. Thank you. I was like, I wonder how. And then I was just thinking about this while you were talking. What book would you recommend? Like, what is your favorite book for overall or for me, whatever? What book would you recommend or is your favorite?
Oh man, I'm going to have to give a list. I'm going to have to give a few books because it's really hard for me to pick one. So the one that I talked about earlier, like if you're in like my favorite author of all time, current modern day author is Robert Greene. I really appreciate his books. 48 Laws of Power, that book taught me people's intentions, right? People can be dark, devious, and very indirect. And I had no idea until I read that book. So I recommend if you want to learn how people are like, they can be so indirect and emotional about certain things. I recommend you read that book so you can equip yourself and understand what's going on. He has another book that's more about people management and emotional, right? The 48 Laws of Power. He has another book called 33 Strategies of War. And that book, I tell people that I have a war mind. I'm like competitive, right? I like to compete and win. That book is like, it's that kind of book. Here's how you win. And I like to say that book is more for entrepreneurs. Like, how do you win? How do you beat your competition? Right. And I say that with quotes because competition can be you. Competition is competition. And he has another good book on dating. I would say it's for dating, called The Art of Seduction. And it's not necessarily for dating. It's for knowing yourself. I read that book and there's a lot of stuff that I learned about me, particularly in that book. So that's my favorite author. I give you three books on him. Another book that I would recommend for anybody that's trying to be an entrepreneur would be Traction. That book is all about, it breaks things down into two types of people in business. You've got a visionary, you've got an integrator, and you need both to thrive in a business. But the key, like the thing that makes everything churn again is like the integrator. And most people are visionaries and they need the integrator. And that book helps you understand how much you need integrators if you're going to be an entrepreneur and big picture person. The next book I would recommend, this is another, I like personality stuff so people can understand themselves. The next book is by Thomas Erickson. And the name of that book is called Surrounded by Idiots. And that breaks things, that breaks people's behaviors down into four colors and four types. And I recommend that book for people starting to understand themselves and start to understand the kind of people that you're going to be working with. There are so many books. I'm going to try to be quiet. One more book, which is my favorite book right now, is No BS Time Management for Entrepreneurs by Dan Kennedy. And I've recommended it to a woman, her name's Stephanie. And Stephanie's like, it's nothing really groundbreaking in this book. And I'm like, I know, but it's assuring that in order for you to be successful, you need to have this mindset. If you have this mindset, you're going to be successful and you're going to do well in business. And most people will shun you or make you feel bad for having that mentality that is explained within that book. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think that was great. That's all the questions I have for anybody listening or watching. I'll put Jerome's links in the comments or the description. Yeah.
Thanks, Carson.
Yep.